I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. Today I'm talking with John Penry, who's from the Countdown Down Under Mastitis Control Program. And today we're discussing mastitis control post-floods. John, how big a problem is mastitis after floods and muddy conditions?
Well, Bruce, our recent experience with the extreme wet conditions in northern Victoria and southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales during the summer months has shown that it can be one of the top three challenges facing farmers after both floods and or extreme wet conditions where the farm may not have been flooded. And it's simply a reflection of the increased challenge that the teat environment sees from a muddy paddock or muddy feeding area, which has a flow-on effect with just more bugs around the teat that may cause mastitis.
What sort of an economic impact can it have on an individual dairy animal?
It's probably easy to talk about it at a herd basis. If you've got a herd and you look at it in sort of groups of 100 cows, then you can easily have the rate of new clinical infections, new clinical mastitis infections going from, say, 3 or 4 per 100 cows per month and double that. You can easily see an increased cost of somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 per 100 cows per month simply because of the increase in clinical cases. So depending on how big your herd is and how many increased numbers of clinical cases you're trying to deal with, it can be quite a substantial cost in both the short and medium term.
Now, you say that it increases, that there's an economic impact as well, but what are some key steps that you can use around the dairy during those wet and muddy conditions?
Well, I suppose the first thing is to try and almost triage what is happening on the farm. If the dairy has been affected by either inundation of water or flood water, the very first thing you should do is get the plant rechecked to make sure that it's functioning correctly, particularly the electrical systems that help to run a lot of the modern dairy equipment. So that's the first thing to do. The second thing to do is to ensure that the sorts of devices you've got in the dairy, which are really crucial to prevent new infections, such as the teat spraying units, are working correctly, because they'll become really central to the control measures as you work your way through the next weeks and months. And I suppose the third thing is to really increase the surveillance for clinical cases. If we know and understand that the challenge around the teat caused by increased exposure to mud, for example, is really going to ramp up the chances of having new infections, then detecting those new infections as quickly as possible in the dairy whilst you're milking becomes paramount. And often that will mean that you might have to have some extra people involved during the milking process. You might be stripping cows prior to cups on and stripping every cow during those periods of high challenge. And in some cases, it might even be worthwhile to implement a cleaning process prior to cups on, where teats are washed with low pressure water and then dried with individual disposable paper towels.
Now, you mentioned possibly bringing in extra people, but how important is to have those people trained?
Well, it's absolutely vital. In many cases, what herds are electing to do is to bring in people that they might have been using as relief milkers and to actually employ them for extra time. It makes absolute sense that the people who, for example, might be helping to strip cows looking for clinical mastitis prior to cups on know exactly what they're looking for and how to actually handle that stripping process so that they do not themselves contribute to the spread of mastitis bugs.
If you detect a cow with mastitis, what are your options?
Well, the options are pretty straightforward. The first thing to do is to mark the cow so that you've got her well ID'd. She then would be segregated and treated at the same time. In most cases, the treatment course that you're using will run for 3 or perhaps 4 days. And during that time, it makes sense to milk that cow last or segregate her in another way. The other thing, just to briefly recap, is the way the intramammaries are infused into the affected quarter is really quite important, that the end of the teat is sterilised correctly, either with a pre-prepared teat wipe or a 70% alcohol mixture, and that you take great care to make sure that you're infusing the intramammary treatment in a way that you're not actually introducing any new bacteria into the teat canal.
Now, you have a countdown resource pack. What are the values of that resource pack?
Well, this resource pack was tailor-made for the flooding and wet conditions that we saw in Queensland and northern New South Wales and northern Victoria during January and February and March. So we really tried to encapsulate through a couple of resource sheets, there's only about eight in total, all of the things that farmers really need to get right when they are dealing with increased mastitis challenge after an extreme wet weather event. So it runs through things like how you might reduce the headache of clinical cases, what might be the option for high cell count cows, how might you ensure that the milking plant is working correctly, and if you have got cows coming up for drying off, for example, how might you ensure that that drying off process really gives you the best benefit for eliminating infections that may have established themselves.
Now, you've talked about getting extra staff in to identify if you do have problems, but how important is it to also seek professional assistance in the form of a vet?
Well, in many cases, it will be an effort that is worthwhile. The best indicator you've got is if the clinical case rate of the herd jumps up. So it goes from, say, four or five cases per 100 cows and increases above that per month. Or indeed, if you see a marked shift in the bulk milk cell count, say an increase of 50,000 cells per mil on what's getting reported from the tanker. If either of those things occur, then it often pays to get some veterinary advice just to retrace the steps with the herd to make sure that these sorts of control measures that you might have in place are operating as effectively as they can. And in some cases, there might be some fine-tuning that is required. And sitting alongside of that, obviously, is the need for having the milking machine assessed by a plant tester who is qualified to ensure that the plant actually is operating as it should be, especially if it has been affected by inundation of water.
Now, you've mentioned the dairy shed itself. What should you look at in trying to minimise the risk in the dairy shed and particularly cross-contamination?
Well, there's some relatively basic maintenance things and in no particular order of importance. They are things like listening to the pulsators to ensure that they sound like they're operating correctly, checking the vacuum gauge to ensure that it hasn't shifted after the wet weather. So a reflection of how well the vacuum system in the plant is working. It's worthwhile retracing your steps. How long has it been since the liners were changed? If the liners have done more than 2,500 milkings, then they need to be changed. Most importantly, just ensuring that the teat disinfection system that's used in the dairy, whether that be by hand bottles or a vacuum-driven system, which is really common, is operating effectively, and it's not only delivering the correct volume of teat disinfection, which is 20 mils per cow per milking, but also that you're using a teat disinfectant, which is the correct concentration. So in many cases, using a ready-to-use product is the way to go.
What about from a cow management point of view in the dairy shed?
In most cases, it's setting up a system whereby you are able to check cows prior to cups on. So stripping cows, checking for clinical mastitis during that peak risk period following on from the wet weather event. And it's, so having the milking team set up to do that type of work. And again, if it is decided that the amount of mud on the teats is just too much and it's affecting the mastitis risk when cups are going on, then the best way forward is to initiate a cleaning procedure whereby you're washing the cow's teats with low volume water and then drying them with individual paper towels prior to cups on. They'd be the two things that would give you the most benefit in the short term.
John Penry, thanks for discussing mastitis control post-flood. For this podcast and more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales DPI website and click on Dairy.